WMA.com. Bigger, better, if we all just do our share. Think about your friend, the one in the snitch day of the lift. Not the print from walking by, but a footprint that'll stay. We've all got a carbon footprint from the energy we use. And we also have a duty to wear the smallest shoes. It's better for our planet, treading lightly as we go. Saving resources, reducing waste, it all adds up, you know. But it's not just to save the earth, it's saving money too. An efficient service means more of the awesome things we do.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sustainable Living Program. John Butts and Tanya Vidovic are here. I'm Rob Lori, and John and Tanya, great to see you guys.
Well, it's great to see you, Rob. What do you think, Tanya? Good to see Rob.
It is a marvelous day, and it has made my day that I get to see you today, Rob. So
it's so good to see you guys. Thank you.
It's good to be back. How was your weekend?
I spent a lot of time outdoors, as usual, and it was beautiful. I saw hawks and eagles, and I saw alligators, and it was incredible.
Yeah, last little cold snap. I hope not, but...
Yeah, let's hope it continues for a while.
Yeah, we were planting beans yesterday, but...
Is it too late to plant beans?
No, right now. Hey, go for it.
Because I was like in the stores, and I saw broccoli and tomatoes in the stores, plants... seedlings.
Well, it's getting a little late for broccoli, but actually I got a little broccoli I'm going to plant myself here probably maybe this afternoon if I get back there. But no, it's kind of that. It depends on the weather, how hot it's going to get. I've noticed I planted some little lettuces, and yesterday they didn't like it, the heat, but hopefully it'll be a good, dry, sunny spring.
And you might actually be able to plant that in your front yard soon, right?
Yeah, I see.
You guys are going to do a show on that soon, too, right?
Yeah. Hopefully.
Oh, yeah, well, you're listening to the WMNF Sustainable Living Show, and I always like to start by thanking our listeners, supporters to this great institution, radio station. Love to see Rob sitting over there. You know, I was kind of wondering what I was supposed to do. So why we're not supposed to talk about station business. And the first show, Rob's not here, and I think, won't you? What am I supposed to do? How am I going to do this? But thank you so much for hanging in there, Rob, and hopefully WMS is going to be better. We're here, and we're going to continue this great station, and thank you all for the support. On today's Sustainable Living Program, we'll be talking with four local guests on best sustainable business practices. But first, next weekend, there'll be a presentation about introduction to Drawdown, a plan to reverse global warming. And this is going to take place in Tampa, and joining us is one of the presenters, Douglas Bonar. Welcome to WMNF, Douglas.
Oh, so great to be here again. I was guest hosting on Marcy's show several times, and just fun to be here, especially with Rob here. Yay! The community cheers.
Thanks, well, Doug. All right, what are we going to draw down and tell us about the event?
Drawdown is a book by Paul Hawken. Drawdown is subtitled The Most Comprehensive Plan Ever Proposed to Reverse Global Warming. This is good news that's coming our way. It's 100 ways that have been proven, they're scalable, they've been highly researched, they're already in use. 100 different ways that we can reverse global warming. It's happening worldwide, and we're waking up to the possibilities. We can do this. We have the technology, and now we're forming the will, the consciousness to do it. So the drawdown is being sponsored by the Pachamama Alliance, which is our alliance with the elders, the Native American, the indigenous population, who are telling us we are one. We are one with the living earth. And this is the information we need to change consciousness. That's my study, is in consciousness. So it's what I'm calling now the Tao of activism, which is the yin and the yang. The yin is sacred activism, changing our mind, changing the story. And then the yang, sandals on the ground. What are we going to do? And that's drawdown.
Cool. And where is this event?
The event is going to be held. This is our second of three. The first one we did at the First Unity Spiritual Campus in St. Petersburg in January. Huge success. Second one, the one coming up, will be at the Unity of Tampa on Sunday, March 31st, from 1 to 4:30 in the afternoon. So again, Unity of Tampa on Horatio Street, 1 to 4:30 Sunday. And then the next one we're going to do will be the Sunday, June 9th, at Unitarian Universalist Church in Clearwater. And that also is on a Sunday from 1:30 to 5.
1:30 to 5. So do people have to register?
Yeah, you can register online. We have, if you want to look up on Drawdown or on the Pachamama Alliance site, we have Eventbrite registration there to register. And it'll tell you all about the venue, the cost, and things like that. So, yes, you register for it, but walk-ins are welcome, and nobody will be turned away.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So, you know, myself... every time I come to the station, you know, I go down the interstate, and I always look for electric cars. And I actually saw an electric car this morning in the parking lot of WM&F. But I wonder sometime if this is really possible. I mean, there's been books like Drawdown for years. I mean, a lot of different authors have come out with plans, very sensible plans. I think right now we have everything we need. You know, the yes. solar panels are so cheap, but it's still that, you know, and I talk to people all the time, and they kind of smile and they go, well, you know, I think a little bit differently about climate change. What do you think? I mean, is this really where we're going to start? Is this the starting point?
The starting point is in consciousness. Mm-hmm. Again, it's changing our mind so we understand this new worldview of interconnectedness. This is our evolutionary thrust. This is where we are going to understand we have the technology. We need to change our mind, our consciousness, to understand we are connected with a living earth. We are connected with each other, all humanity, in terms of social justice and equality, and we are connected with an intelligence of the universe. Paul Hawken is an amazing man. I consider him to be one of the pure people in the world. I mean, I consider him to be like a mystic. And if you listen to what he's saying in Drawdown, it's very, very spiritual. It's very scientific. It's very down to earth. So yes, I believe, like you're saying, there is a possibility. We need to change our mind and then our behavior. Sandals on the ground.
Well, Douglas, it's so nice to have you in here. Maybe go ahead and tell us again where it's going to be, and maybe the next event's after the one on this Saturday? Is it Saturday?
Sunday. Sunday, it will be at the Unity of Tampa on Horatio, West Horatio Street, Sunday, March 31st, from 1 till 4:30. And again, walk-ins, very welcome. Please come.
And so is this event good for businesses, for just the regular resident citizen, or is it family-friendly? Like, who do you expect to attend this event, and who is welcome at this event?
Everybody's welcome. Yes, business owners, people that have investments in the community, stakeholders that want to see change, that are very invested in the community. Family friendly, yes. We've had, at the last one, we had a couple children that were their teenagers, and that's always great to see. Certainly, that's hopeful for me that they're going to be picking up this mantle. People like John and I, maybe even Rob here, we're a bit elder, you know, and it's great to see millennials walking in. I'll be 70. Come on, this is great.
So, and Doug, will there be actual things that people can do, suggestions that you make, or suggestions that are shared at the meeting on Sunday about how to draw down, how to reduce our carbon footprint?
Very interactive, and there will be coming from this, we're hoping to form community groups. There's five groups that can form afterwards about Drawdown. So this is the introduction to Drawdown, and then afterwards, people gathering again. And what are we going to do in the community? What projects, not all of these 100 things that Paul Hawken are writing about is applicable to our community, certainly, but some are. What can we do? Yes, there will be outcome from this. Yeah, absolutely. Interactive, it's emotional, it's drawing people into feeling the hope, but also feeling the pathos, feeling whatever feelings come up during this. This is not a neutral event. Yes. We've got other events certainly coming up similar to this. We're going to form a series of environmental movies. The first one will be called The Sequel. It's a 60-minute movie that we're going to start hosting interfaith environmental movies in the Tampa Bay area. We're having our first one on Friday, May 17th at 6:30 at First Unity Spiritual Campus. So be prepared for that also. Having these movies are going to be coming up soon. There's a lot of events coming up. We feel that this community is really gelling. We're starting to get it. We were talking about that with Tanya
a little earlier. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, if you want, I mean, definitely send me them and we will post them on the Facebook page, the Sustainable Living WMNF Facebook page. And again, you are listening to Sustainable Living, WMNF Tampa 88.5. You're listening to the Sustainable Living Show with me, Tanya Vidovic, John Butts, and Rob Lori. So we have a bunch of guests here today. We're going to be talking about sustainability in business. And so if you're interested in hearing more about it, definitely stay tuned. If you have any questions about being sustainable in your business, call us at 813-239-9663. You can email dj@wmnf.org or you can send us a text at 813-433-0885.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Douglas Bonner, in the events this Sunday, Drawdown. So great to have you. We're going to take just a little moment, and we'll be right back.
Think about your footprint, the one you leave each day. Not the print from walking by, but a footprint that'll stay. We've all got a carbon footprint from the energy we use. And we also have a duty to wear the smallest shoes. It's better for our planet, treading lightly as we go. Saving resources, reducing waste, it all adds up, you know. But it's not just to save the earth, it's saving money too. An efficient service means more of the awesome things we do. Let's put it very simply, you work here because you care. We can pay for bigger, better if we all just do our share. It's just thinking of the little things, the changes we can make. Shut down computers, turn off that tap, wastage, eliminate. We can spend more where it's needed, nurses, equipment and the like. So when you leave an empty room, just turn up that light. Yeah, when you leave an empty room, just turn on that light. Yeah, when you leave an empty room, just turn on that light.
Welcome back to Sustainable Living WMNF Tampa. We are talking today with four amazing women about how to be sustainable in your business practices. So we have Sharon Hannah-West, Callie Raubo, Lori Belovich, and Janet Hall all here to talk about what you guys do for sustainability. We have a bunch of different perspectives here, which is why we have so many amazing guests, is we want from the bottom, from people actually doing it, owning the business and having a sustainable business, all the way to leading other businesses and how to be more sustainable, and also the teaching perspective of how to teach people in sustainability, because this is obviously very important. So I don't know, maybe let's start with Janet and go down the line and just say who you are, what you do, and why you do it.
Sure, I'm Janet Hall. I have a company called Destination Better, founded right here in the Tampa Bay area, and we help companies become more responsible. And so while you hear lots of different perspectives here and we're all doing really great work, mine comes from the corporate side. So helping larger companies, even cities, local cities, and very large associations really recognize what their environmental and social effects are and impacts, and then creating plans to address them. And then at the end of the day, telling their great stories.
I'm Sharon Hannah West, and I'm on the graduate faculty at the USF MUMA College of Business. We take a similar perspective. Years ago, developed a template on how to teach, how to make a company sustainable. And it's a template that really works for anything from a mom and pop pizza company to a Fortune 500. But we work with graduate students in the MBA programs and the Patel College of Global Sustainability to teach them how to use this template. And wonderful thing is, it's also led to many alliances. Jan and I have a history of working on this. Now Lori and I do, and we'll let them tell you a little bit more.
Good morning. My name is Lori Belovich. I'm the executive director of the Sustain Foundation. We are a 501c3 nonprofit. Our goal is really to drive sustainable initiatives in the Tampa Bay area, which includes sustainable businesses. We are home to the Sustainable Business Coalition. We also host the annual Sustainable Business Awards, and we also provide grants. We provide grants, grant matching for community gardens, and we also have a mini grant for sustainable projects. As a nonprofit, we're an aggregator, so we work with many of the great partners we have here today.
Hi, good morning. I'm Callie Rabo. I'm the owner of Shift Company. I founded it with Tara Siegel, and we do zero waste consulting. And we go in and help businesses basically learn how to be less trashy. But this grew out of my other company, which is a community composting company called Suncoast Compost. And we do curbside composting here in Tampa and St. Pete. We pick up your food scraps once a week, just like you're recycling, you put it out, and then we come by, pick it up, and turn it into compost to grow more food here in our community. And I met all these wonderful, lovely ladies through the Sesame Foundation, and they were one of our very first zero waste events, actually the first one in Tampa. So I'm so happy to be here in this wonderful company.
Well, welcome, everybody. We're so excited to have everyone here. And again, if you have questions for these women, because there's a wealth of knowledge right here in the studio here today. So if you have any questions, give us a call, 813-239-9663. And so, Callie, when you say zero waste, what exactly, to our listeners who may, you know, sustainability may be on their mind, but the terminology they may not know, and they may just be getting into it. So would you explain zero waste?
Yeah, so the typical understanding of zero waste is that 90% or more of your waste is kept out of the landfill. And that's done through reduction, through recycling, through reuse, composting, but it's a lot of fun. Who knew trash could be so interesting? But it's a great way to really understand your impact is by looking at what's being thrown away.
And so, I have a list that I want to ask you guys. So as far as sustainability in business, how important is that in today's world? That's a big, broad question. So yeah, Sharon.
I think when we think about it, an awful lot, if not most, of our environmental harm can be traced to economic activity. And I think that's why, of necessity, we've all kind of focused in that arena. Not that it's more important, but that it's a huge, huge component of what it's going to take for us to become truly a sustainable planet.
Yeah, exactly. No, and so what percentage of businesses do you think have that on their mind? Like, as far as, I mean, obviously profits are on their mind, but sustainability, like what percentage of businesses are actually working on making that a priority?
There's some very mixed data on this. A lot depends really on the size of the company and also the industry. But it's funny, lately what we're seeing is about 74% of CEOs internationally feel that sustainability is in the top three components of their business.
Yeah, I'd jump in. Please jump in. Yeah.
I'd also like to add, you mentioned when you asked the question, you mentioned, well, obviously profits are on their mind, but we don't look at sustainability and profits as mutually exclusive. In fact, to be sustainable, we're really looking at three pillars. It's people, profit, and planet. So we want them. Businesses have to have profit. We have to have economic activity. In many cases, sustainable choices lead to higher profits. So it's not exclusive. Profits is part of the answer.
Exactly. So that's something that they can focus on, and it actually helps their business. And I think that there's a disconnect with that too, where people like think that if they're going to be sustainable, if they're going to be green, it's going to cut in on their business and on their profits. And that's not necessarily true?
Not at all. Most of the companies these days, sustainability and profits are, you know, as Lori said, certainly intertwined, but the whole journey for sustainability can be self-funded through the savings of your sustainable related initiatives.
And you say that Tampa Bay, that it's becoming a focus here. So what about the Tampa Bay businesses? Who's doing it right here? Who's really like putting forth the extra effort to be more sustainable?
I think we see it from small and medium and some of our larger publicly held companies. Callie's doing amazing work on the ground and really bringing forth that you can be sustainable no matter the size of your company. From the side that my business partner Barbara Anderson and I work on, which is more of the larger association and publicly held companies, we see a lot of investor pressure for really understanding what these large companies' environmental and social risks and opportunities are. One of the greatest risks we have in the Tampa Bay area is extreme weather events. So we see companies really taking that into their strategies in understanding if we are facing an extreme weather event here, what are they doing to make sure that they're back up and running, that their employees can get to work, that our infrastructure is to the point where we can get electricity, we can get trucks in on the road. A lot of grocery stores that are working on logistics plans to make sure that they can get groceries back in stores that have had a loss of power and things like that. I think a lot of the things that are going on we don't see, but they are happening, and they may not be telling that story. There's something Barbara and I say a lot is that companies are doing great things, they just aren't telling their stories. Those logistics and those things are happening. You may not see them. You see what you're doing at Sunco's Compost. Some of the things we don't see are actually helping. They are occurring. I think
they're doing it behind the scenes having to I guess boast about it. But it is nice as a consumer to know what businesses that I want to support by doing those green practices. And again, you are listening to the Sustainable Living Show here with Tanya Vidovic, John Butts, and Rob Lorai. Every other Monday, you hear about all things sustainable at 10 a.m. And so today we're talking about the best sustainable business practices here with Sharon Hannah West from USF, Callie Rabu, Lori Belovich, and Janet Hall. If you have any questions, give us a call, 813-239-9663, or you can email dj@wmnf.org. If you have any questions at all about how to make your business a little bit more sustainable, please give us a call. So getting back to our conversation, is there any sort of legislation going on right now as far as, creating green business standards? Anybody?
Oh, legislation?
Local or state? Like, is there anything that we're working on?
Do you want to take them?
Yeah, I think what we're going to try to be nice about saying is that we see a little bit of a gap between the Southeast and what's happening in some other areas in the country. I'm thinking in terms of like waste legislation, take back legislation, those kinds of things. That said, I don't want to paint a grim picture, because I think one thing that we're all here and pretty energized about is that we are seeing a huge groundswell of momentum of businesses that want to do that. Now, do we need some legislative backup on this? Absolutely. Hopefully that sets that we're starting to hear some rumors about that too in Tallahassee. But I, for one, really believe that that has held this state back economically, because you're not going to have a Fortune 500 company relocate or put a subsidiary down in this state without the state having some kind of a comprehensive statewide resiliency plan. We have to talk about climate change. It's real. We are vulnerable. We are ground zero. And that doesn't mean that we have to run away from it, but we do absolutely need some legislation and statewide recognition of this and standards so that we can move forward economically, or we'll be left behind.
And are there any green building standards here in the Tampa Bay area where, like, they have to go and abide by certain standards in order to, you know, in order to build a new building?
I'm not a construction expert, but I know that the codes have, you know, increased in terms of storm resiliency for buildings. We also have a very active community in the USGBC, the US Green Building Council. A lot of companies, a lot of organizations are realizing just how important it is to build green. It certainly saves you a lot of money, the maintenance of it, employee turnover, absenteeism, that sort of thing. So we're seeing it.
Awesome. And we actually have a call from Christy in Tampa. Christy, are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, great. My name's Christy Abbott, and I'm really happy to be on your show. And in regards to sustainability and business practices, here I'm a permaculture designer in the Tampa Bay area, created things like the St. Peace House and St. Pete Eco Village in the St. Petersburg area. And here now, in the Tampa Bay area, what we're trying to do is save the garden at Sweetwater, the CSA, which is one of our most probably long-lived sustainable attempts in the Tampa Bay area. And, I heard there was one person who could do grants and fundraising and have events. And I'd like to invite you guys tomorrow to our Tuesday evening potluck from 4 to 7 at Sweetwater. And I'm wondering, we want to get it back opened. We're asking for donations and support from the community. And, you know, from a sustainable point of view, what could you offer us to get that message out to the Tampa Bay area?
I'm getting a little bit of conflicting information. Has Sweetwater been sold already?
We are in the process of purchasing it, and we'd like for it to continue as, you know, it's like an anchor in our area.
Sure.
Sustainability.
Well, can you send us an email and we'll get that event posted on the Sustainable Living WMNF page, and then sure. Anybody who's interested in helping Sweetwater out can definitely we'll welcome them to the event.
Well, I'd certainly like to invite your panel, have that. So I'll get that with you. So thank you for letting me say that.
No, of course. I mean, it is a little short notice, and I don't know if the panel will be able to make it, but definitely we welcome the invitation.
Yeah, thank you so much for letting me share.
Sure.
And I did want to talk about the grants. You mentioned the grants. So we offer, this is Sustainability Foundation, we do offer two types of grants. One grant is specifically for community gardens. It's called the Community Garden Matching Fund Grant. You can get up to $600. It can't be to an individual. It does have to be to an organized effort, but that can be a faith-based effort. It can be a community association. So someone has to step up really to organize it. There is a matching component to that, but that can be seeds and plants that you already have. It can be staff, it can be volunteers. It's a very easy process. It's non-competitive. If you're interested, you can go to our website, which is www.sustany.org, under the grants tab, and it's right there. The other type of grant that we do is a sustainable initiative grant. That's really do a proposal, a concept paper. It's anywhere up to $500. Again, they are mini grants, but we take a look at it. Our board takes a look at it, and if it's something that we think will move the agenda forward, we're happy to consider it.
No, that's a great option. Thanks. And thank you so much for Christy for calling. Oh, she's gone. Okay. Well, you're listening to Sustainable Living WMNF Tampa with John Butts, Tanya Vidovic, and Rob Lori. And today we're talking about sustainability in business. So for the businesses that may be listening and they want to know exactly what they can do to kind of do the first step in getting more sustainable, what are some good basic introduction options that they can introduce into their business as far as just the stepping stone?
So I would say, first of all, and I think Janet will do a great job piggybacking off of me, like, don't underestimate the power that you as an individual have. I see it over and over again. It's one person approaching my company or your organizations that propels it forward. So seriously, go for it. You really have the power. A couple simple things I would say. Number one, do you have a green team? Do you have a sustainability committee? Like, you need that organizational structure in there first. So that's definitely step one. And then, of course, because you know I love trash, step two, I say, is do a waste audit.
Yeah, definitely. And just to piggyback on that too, my favorite four-letter word is data. And so, yeah, it's the best. You can't argue with it. And so looking at that waste data, that's a great place to start. We know that that companies of all sizes, everybody turns a light on, right? Everybody throws something away. Everybody uses water in their business. Just looking at the energy waste in water to begin with, I think, is a really good place to start. We can't forget that when we use the word sustainability, it also involves the social impacts of your business. So that is what's happening internally with your own employees, and then externally, what's happening outside your company, the communities that you're operating in. Are you aligning your community outreach with your business model? And then also the health and safety of the people that are actually buying your products, you know, consumer health.
So making sure that the products are healthy as well. Go ahead, Sharon.
A kind of a three-step approach that I like to recommend is assess, vision, and plan. So first you assess where you are, what you've done in various sectors. The sectors that we look at are purchasing, green purchasing. It's an easy way to start. It also is a really big way to impact your waste stream. So, but the vision part is, what would I look like as a business if I was 100% sustainable? You know, that's your goal. That's the pin you want to drop on the map. And then you start the process of how to get there. And the lower hanging fruit is really the easiest way to start. And yes, do that. Pick it and put it away. And then you kind of keep going from there. But we look at things like purchasing, waste, energy, water, transportation, yes, employee well-being, all of those things. And we come up with ways that businesses can do that are economically feasible. We do an ROI on everything. So assess, vision, plan.
Perfect. Hey, John, do you have an email?
No, we have a call here from Nicole in St. Pete. You there, Nicole?
Nicole dropped off.
All right, well, Nicole, feel free to give us a call back if you got disconnected.
And just one thing really quickly to piggyback on what Sharon was saying. When you put together that kind of, you get your team together and you say, they may be saying, well, this is important for me and this is important for me. You may start off with a list of topics that's important for your company that's 30 topics long. But you've really got to figure out how to prioritize them. And for a lot of companies, that prioritization starts with, is this going to increase our revenue? Is it going to increase or decrease our cost? So let's start with that to get the low-hanging fruit. Prioritize it. Get a strategy in place and go and implement that.
And then so what I'm getting from that is, making so maybe you have a list of 30 things, but you can create some short-term solutions that you can implement right away and then work towards some longer goals. Like, yes, we have a 3-year plan, a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan to implement the bigger picture. But in the meantime, there's things that you can do. Like you said, from lighting and water use, maybe low flow toilets or LED bulbs or motion scenting lights, something like that. So you're not just leaving lights on maybe all the time. Is that what you're kind of getting at?
Yes, and most utilities offer a free energy audit. Take advantage of that, too, and also learn from each other. Maybe we'll go ahead and pitch our event, but we have an event coming up on the 3rd of April, and this is a partnership between pretty much everybody in this room. But the Sustainee Foundation does the annual Sustainable Business Awards, and this year there were 89 nominees and more than 45 applicants. We're going to showcase those at USF. It's a free event. All you have to do is register. And you're going to see some best practices from small companies up to big ones, including Destination Better over here, which has been pivotal in building some alliances across the Tri-County area for sustainable business.
Well, you're listening to the Sustainable Living Program on WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. We're talking about sustainable business practices. We've got four experts in the studio, and Nicole is calling with a question from St. Petersburg. She called back. Hi, Nicole. You're on the Sustainable Living Program on WMNF.
Hi, guys. Really great to be on with you today. Thanks for this conversation. I have quite a question related to your conversation about social and governance and that part of sustainability. And I was wondering if I'm a student in a business course, taking business courses, and representing businesses, how do we help tie back their social aspects, their giving and their community work back to those profits or profitability and what they're interested in on that level?
I think a lot of that, and thanks, Nicole, for the question. I think a lot of that comes back to what's your company really about? And Sharon, you and I talk a lot about employee turnover. We've got 5 generations in the workplace at this moment. Every one of them, even though we hear a lot about millennials, we've got to attract them and retain them. Every one of those generations has a values-based component to their being. And when they come to work, they want to live their values. How best to live your values than giving back to your community through your job? We spend more time with people at work than we do with our families, right? So I think that we have to build that kind of in from the inside. And we just were talking about like prioritizing that low-hanging fruit. You've got to put that social impact into that list of priorities so that you can feel like you're actually doing something better with your time. I had an interview with a company about 6 years ago. I wrote a sustainability report for them, and I had an engineer, lots of engineers that I had to interview, and oh my gosh, they were a little dry. However, my last question on my last interview was, what does it mean for you to be an employee of this company? And this is what he said, because I can live my values at my work.
Wow.
And that is where that social impact in our neighborhoods and our communities comes into play. People want to show up at work, they want to feel good, and they want to give back.
If you're happy an employee, I mean, having happy employees, it increases your productivity and also creates happier people in our society, which would be wonderful. So working for an employer who has your same values is vital.
And the nice thing about that too, Tanya, is we now have that backed up in research, hard research. Now, when I first started teaching, the whole CSR, the corporate social responsibility aspect, was in flux. You know, can we make a business case for it? Well, that's happened and it's gone hard. And now we're doing that with sustainable business practices. So you're absolutely right. I think a lot of us feel it on an intuitive level, but yes, we also have to have the hard data to show businesses that it does fit pay. For one thing, they've got shareholder obligations, and you know, they can actually be held accountable if they're not meeting those. We have to provide them the data to show them that it does. It's good for business.
Yeah, and go ahead.
Yeah, Carrie. And there's also, so about 4 years ago, Florida made it possible for you to have a benefit corporation, or so that's a great way to not just be responsible for your profits, but you have to be responsible for people and for planets right there.
Can you explain a little bit of what that is?
a benefit corporation is actually a way to incorporate that, you know, we have C corps, S corps, and whatnot. A benefit corporation requires a corporation legally to be responsible on a triple bottom line basis: people, planet, and profit. So, for instance, we have we had a situation with, say, Ben and Jerry's ice cream. We all know those guys, loved them, loved their product. They lived their values, but they also were publicly traded. So, down the road, they had a hostile takeover, event, and they felt that the principals felt that they had to sell because of the shareholder, financial obligation. So in turn, what happened is, in hindsight, they said, had we been incorporated as a B Corp, a benefit corp, we would have been okay. We could have gone ahead and deflected that.
And you are listening to the Sustainable Living Show. Every other Monday, you hear about all things sustainable. You are with the Sustainable Team, John Butts, Rob Lori, Tanya Vidovic, and we have four amazing guests here. So please give us a call and ask them questions. 813-239-9663. We have Sharon Hannah West, Callie Rabu, Lori Belovich, and Janet Hall. And do we have somebody holding on the line with a question?
We've got Chris in Clearwater. Chris, you're on WMNF. What's your question for our guests?
There are two items I wanted to know if the technology you've looked into or could comment on. And this goes to Tanya also, because I know you're big into gardening. Ionized water for gardening and HHO, or brown gas, for transportation. I've seen over the last 10 years that vehicles, large and small, even boats, can be outfitted with HHO kits, and doesn't take very much in terms of expense. It allows the fuel, the same fuel, to be burned fully, the hydrocarbons to be burned fully. The only emissions are water vapor, and the fuel efficiency increases at least 30%. Means for a clean burning fuel system, so the fuel injector or carburetor, if that's the system, doesn't need to be cleaned. And when it comes to ionized water for gardening, it would make obsolete pesticides and fungicides, because when I've used it, I noticed that the plants branch and they bloom much greater. They have bumper crops, much less bug bites, I assume, because of their improved immune system. The annuals and biennials become perennials, and that's with the water that you set to the specific pH of whatever the plant is, 5.5 to 6.5 pH. And the acidic ionized water can be used to kill mold without harming the plant. The ionized water is much better hydrating, and another one of the properties is molecular hydrogen. There are many studies, clinical studies on the benefits of that.
All right. Well, Chris, there's a lot there to digest. Let me ask our panelists if they know anything about this stuff, and maybe we should try to do a show about ionized water in the future.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I actually don't know much about it. If you want to send us an email on Facebook, it's Sustainable Living WMNF. Just send us a message about it, and I will be happy to research it, and maybe we can talk about it in an upcoming show. It's a great idea. Thank you so much for your call.
Collie, I got to ask you, you're with Suncoast Compost as one of your businesses. You talked about a waste audit. A lot of companies have huge piles of trash that they throw out. Is there money to be made in that trash? And how can you reduce the waste? Can you give us some maybe top line ideas about that?
Yeah, for sure. Really depends on the kind of business you have. So what you'll do is you'll save your trash in a safe place for about a week, and you can have a company like mine, Shift Co. or Janet's Destination Better, help you with this, or it's something you can do yourself as well. So you save it.
Is there
it.
Potential cost savings?
Yeah. So once you have it all out there on the ground and you've categorized it and sorted it, some really common things you see is printer paper. The average office worker throws away about 10,000 pieces of printer paper a year. So,
can you make money from recycling it?
Well, you can make money by reducing that with the technology we have these days.
There's a local Tampa company that will actually buy your paper.
That like your used to paper. Be the case. I don't think they do that anymore.
Oh,
I think
really?
That was a few years ago.
Yeah. Over in Columbus? No, not there anymore?
No, I'm thinking of one down in Pinellas. So okay. I'm not sure. I'd have to look into that one. But the way that the recycling market is now, it's highly, highly unlikely. You've probably heard how China doesn't want our garbage anymore.
Well, why not?
I'm sorry. So, you know, like the printer paper is only about $5 a ton. So they're losing money on that. So printer paper is a really common one.
And bringing up printer paper, that's another way, of course, that you can be more sustainable is buying recycled printer paper from, you know, from bamboo products. Is there, I mean, there's just little things that you can do, right? As far as the things
yeah,
that you
absolutely.
Buy.
And then all those single-use plastics out there, right, is so trendy right now, rightfully so, because that's that low-hanging fruit that Jana was talking about. So I just did a recent waste audit with Black Crow Coffee in St. Pete, and we were finding all these plastic cups that they were giving out to all their customers for water. And so she just said, I'm going to take that away, Dina, the owner there. And so now people have to bring their own reusable water jugs. It's really simple things, but until you just stop and pay attention.
I go to a local brewery and they have glasses of water there that are real glasses of water. Mm-hmm. And that they have a dishwasher in the back and they provide Absolutely. You with a glass now instead of paper cups.
And it's a better experience too. That's the really cool thing that I don't think we've mentioned yet about work and sustainability is that you get this kind of innovation from it a lot of times.
It's like, what can I do with this? I went to one place, it was a restaurant, and their water cups that they gave you were their mason jars from their spaghetti sauce. So, like, I mean, but that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're reusing that. That glass isn't going into the recycling. And they're also not having to buy another glass, you know, to serve their product. And then if it breaks, I mean, it was not free, but sort of free anyways. So there's just little innovations that you can do to make your business, you know, more sustainable.
I would also say that one of the most common things I find in the waste audits in recycling that's not recyclable is coffee cups, disposable coffee cups. So they have that wax lining on the inside that we just don't recycle it here in this area. So instead, let's use reusables. Let's have a mug library at our workplace where we get to pick our own mug that shows off our personality. So, yeah, there's always lots of fun findings from your waste audits.
I think, too, though, Callie, that you're doing really important work, especially in these places like Black Crow, where you actually set up a bucket to dump out extra coffee so that you can take that compostable cup. And I think that when we start changing people's habits and they really understand, like, I can't tell you how many times I've gone to maybe throw something out and think, gosh, if I could just clean this, they could compost it or they could recycle it. And I think it's really important, the work that you're doing, that you're making people more aware, even if it's just a cup of coffee, that they have a choice and an option. And I believe that there was another customer that went to Black Crow's other location and the bucket wasn't there. And they're like, where's the bucket? So yeah, you're already making them. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and very quickly, Black Crow Coffee is the first zero waste coffee shop in Florida. Ah. So please come visit them and support them.
Where are they located?
Talking about voting with your dollars. They're in the Old Northeast, and then they just opened a new location in Grand Central.
Wonderful. And both locations are zero waste?
Soon Grand Central will be.
Okay.
We're almost there.
And so what are they doing in their business to make them zero waste?
Yeah. So my company Shift worked with them for about 6 months. We did all kinds of things. It's all these little things that add up. So it's really hard to point to one thing, but you know I'm going to say waste audit because that's where you find the threads to follow back. But composting was huge. They're going to compost about 15,000 pounds of coffee grounds and compostable wares. So we switched out all those single-use plastics for compostable cups.
Okay. Hey, Tanya, we got a call from Clearwater from Lisa. Lisa, are you there?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to let you know that the City of Clearwater, thanks to lobbying by the Clearwater Environmental Advisory Board and Sierra Club, is advertising for a sustainability coordinator, which we've never had in Clearwater.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Yay. We'll send you some resumes.
And also, I wanted to say that I've been composting. I live in a zero lot line home, a very small yard, but I've been composting my kitchen waste, vegetables, not meat, of course, or cheese or dairy products. But I've been doing it in my backyard in a plastic composter. I'm on my third now since 1996, I think is when I started, around 90, maybe 94. And what I do with, well, most of the time I just take it directly. I shred all my office paper, and I have a particular can that I keep the office paper shredded in. And I use that for layering. And then I use the soil in my yard, which is high in phosphorus, but that's about it. I use that also to layer with. And I don't have any oak trees, but I get my neighbor's oak leaves, and I layer with that. And then with my vegetables, I don't use too much. I don't use much, many of my plants from my yard, because everything in my yard is good, except when I'm pulling weeds. I don't like to throw the weeds into the compost because it doesn't get hot.
You know, and so that actually brings up
a compost. Go ahead.
No, that brings up, I wonder if there's any businesses doing that, actually using their printer paper and their compost from their office kitchen and actually composting at their location. Do you ladies know of?
They seem to be afraid of animals, you know, oh, it can bring rats and raccoons, you know, but I haven't had any problems. If you do it correctly, and even though I don't have a hot compost, if you do it correctly, it doesn't smell at all, and I haven't had any problems with animals.
Well,
once
awesome.
I saw a possum one time.
No, that's great. Well, thank you for calling, Lisa. I appreciate it. And we're actually almost at the end of our show. Oh, John, did you have something?
No, we got a couple more callers. Can we get one more? Maybe Elizabeth in Tampa?
Sure.
Elizabeth?
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to go over what I heard. I thought that
there is
a new kind of certification for
business. Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, we... to put profit first.
Elizabeth, we're losing you.
We can't hear you, Elizabeth. I think the connection is bad. Why don't you give us a call back?
Let me try again. Is this better?
That is way better.
Sorry. Okay. It's just please go over some kind of rule that lets corporations not put profit first if they've signed up to have a people-friendly company, people-profit.
Well, Sharon was talking about a benefit corporation. Is that what...
Yes. And
I'd like to know about that.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so a benefit corporation is a legal way in which a business can incorporate, and then it is required to have a triple bottom line, not just philosophy, but they have to follow it. So they have to give equal attention to their people, to the community, to the environment, and to profits. And it's a wonderful way to give businesses more flexibility. It's oftentimes fun to bash businesses, but one thing that we probably forget from time to time is that businesses legally are bound to put shareholders first if they are incorporated accordingly. And so that it becomes a dilemma for them. Now, that's the other piece of that is why the business case is so important. If we can show companies that it is more profitable to be sustainable, then they can get around that. And that's what a lot of the people here are trying to do.
And that's a new way to incorporate a business around the country and here in Florida.
Yeah. I think there are about 26 states that allow that. Mm-hmm. And then you can take it a step beyond. You can be a B certified corp. So the benefit corporation is the legal step. The articles of incorporation say that you're a benefit corporation. You can have third party certification, which is a B corp on top of that.
We are down to the last 3 minutes of the show, and I hate to do that because I know there's a whole lot more to say, but I think everybody should get a chance to talk. Say your name again and how people can contact you and what your specialty is.
Sure. Janet Hall. The company is called Destination Better, and we help create more responsible companies, larger organizations, a lot of them publicly held, in really understanding what their environmental and social impacts are and making strategies to address them and telling those great stories.
Your email.
info@destinationbetter.com.
Sharon Hannah West, University of South Florida, Muma College of Business, shanna@usf.edu.
Lori Belovich with the Sesame Foundation. The one point I really want to make is all this information, if you don't know where to start, call one of us. That's what we're here for. We'll get you to the right place and we'll get you started on an assessment. You can reach me at lorrie@sustany.org.
And what's your phone number? We'll have them call you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's 813-431-4283.
And I'm Callie Rabo. ShiftCo can help your business make a sustainable shift. It's Callie, K-A-L-I, at ShiftCo.us or Suncoast Compost.
Wonderful. Well, it's been so nice having you ladies here. And I will post their information, their contact information. You're listening to the Sustainable Living Show, WMNF Tampa, where every other Monday you will hear about all things sustainable. Join us in 2 weeks as we talk about shade gardening and hopefully growing a garden in your front yard.
Tanya, great to see you. John, thank you very much. Janet, Sharon, Lori, Kali, thank you so much for being here on WMNF. And if people have questions, they can also call us right after the show on our main number, 813-238-8001. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Perfect.
This is WMNF in Tampa.
Let's put it very simply. You work here because you care. We can pay for bigger, better if we all just do our share. It's just thinking of the little things, the changes we can make. Shut down computers, turn off that tap, wastage, eliminate. We can spend more where it's needed, nurses, equipment and the like. So when you leave an empty room, just turn up that light. Yeah, when you leave an empty room, just turn on that light. Yeah, when you leave an empty room, just turn out that light.
You're listening to 88.5 FM. This is WMNF in Tampa. Coming up, Radioactivity. And then at 12 noon today, you'll hear Sean Canaan on the Midpoint program. You'll also be able to watch this next show online, at least for a few minutes, on Facebook. So be sure to look for us on Facebook. This is WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg.